Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're into part 31 today of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 133. If you want to order it, we have tapes and CDs. We have a few letters here also, but now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this special service. Father, we thank and praise Your holy name for life. We know life by the Holy Spirit because You, Father, are in Christ, and Christ as the Spirit, the triune God, is living in us. Christ has become the life-giving Spirit, the life-quickening Spirit, that quickens us into the resurrected life of Christ. Christ has become the Holy Spirit. You're in Christ, so Christ as the Spirit is now with You in Him, is now living in us and through us. And I pray, Lord, the first step of You living in us is regeneration, when we ask You to enter our hearts and our spirits. So many people, You come in to us, and therefore we ask that You anoint outwardly this service, that You, the entire triune God, which is the Spirit, which Christ is as the Spirit now with You in Him, enters and lives in people out in the world. They become one in You and the Father and the Holy Spirit. To know life, we must accept Christ. We must have Your life in us, Father. And You are life in Christ. Christ is now the Holy Spirit. In other words, the triune God, and we are one as we accept You into us. So therefore, Father, we ask that You anoint outwardly this service, that people can understand these things and realize that the first step is regeneration, to accept You into our heart, to regenerate us into new creatures, that we become resurrected from the dead in the Holy Spirit, which Christ is with You in Him. All three of You are one, and therefore we become one in You, and to let You live Your life out in and through us. So therefore, Lord, we ask that You save souls. There's around 7 billion of them out there, as you know, to be saved. And strengthen the church in Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from, please?
From Tima, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
We pray that God will prolong your life for the good work that you are doing, Pastor. When I got some of your literature from a Christian brother, after reading it, I felt changes in my life, because at first I was doing the will of Satan, and now I'm walking in the newness of life. Please send me some of your literature so that I will give it to my friends so that they will also change their lives from Satan to God, and also a Bible that I can use. Signed, Tonar from Tima, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Then where's the next letter from?
From Chester, New York. I would like to request you to send me your messages on tape. I have been reading your literature in Spanish and have found them very inspiring. I am a newborn again Christian and am in need of your messages in this place. I have a very good brother in Christ who helps me out a lot, and he is a follower of what you teach 100%. I have learned a lot of things that he has passed on to me from your messages. Blessings on you, Samuel from Chester, New York.
Praise the Lord. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Nigeria, Africa. My name is Harrison. I am from Nigeria. I am a Christian. I gave my life to God as the result of Pastor Lamo's ministration and publications. So I want to be part of this ministry. I request you to please grant me an invitation letter to Alamo Christian Church. I saw in one of your publications that Alamo Christian Church provides a place for someone who would like to serve God with all their heart and soul. I have decided to serve God with all my heart, mind, and strength. I want to come over where my spiritual life will be nurtured. Please, you can send me the invitation letter through my email address, and it gives his email address. Thank you, and God bless you as you give me a chance to serve God in your ministry. I am looking forward for your reply, Harrison from Cross River State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. What we want to do is serve the Lord with all of our heart and our spirit. There's a lot of difference between them. Most people, they think that the soul is the only thing, just the body and soul, but it's body. The Bible tells us plainly that it's body, spirit, and soul. The soul, we have to leave the soul type of life to serve God with our spirits. God is the spirit, and to serve him and to worship him, we must serve him with our spirit. So you could say that we serve him with all of our heart and spirit, because our soul is not going to serve him. Our soul is the soulish life, the former life that we lived before. And we have to put our soul under subjection. Our spirit wants to serve the Lord, but the soul doesn't. So it's a battle between the soul and the spirit. And the flesh will do whatever either one of these two entities will tell it to do. Like, your flesh is either going to obey your soul or your spirit. Now, your spirit, it's the Lord doesn't live in the soul. He lives in your spirit. The Bible plainly tells us in Hebrews and in other areas of the Bible about there being a body, a spirit, and a soul. And there's this life that people live today is a soulish life. In other words, we got soul. You know, we like soul food. We like soul music. We like the soul kind of life. You know, the brotherhood and all this kind of stuff. But the Lord is the spirit. And those that serve him with their spirit. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit, not his soul. Amen?
Amen.
So there's all sorts of things to learn. There's a difference between body, soul, and spirit. Now, if you're serving the Lord with your spirit, then your spirit is putting your body under subjection. If you think you're serving the Lord with your soul, well, you know, everything goes almost. You know, as long as God, he knows my heart, and you know, I just do the best I can. That's soulish type of life. And so we have to let the spirit put the soul under subjection, and the spirit will then put the body under subjection as well. It's just something that the man said that I'd like to know. I have preached many messages on this particular subject. Okay, was that all?
Yeah.
Okay, like for instance, I've just copied out some things here that I've done in other messages. We know that there is three different entities that has to do with the spirit. In the Bible, we're going to start doing now, have Sharon come over here so we can start doing how to have God's life living in you. So I've just stated in the prayer that God's life living in us is Christ has the spirit with his Father in him. As life, our life. So it takes the, it's not just Christ alone, even though Christ is the Father and the Spirit, but if we want to break it down into increments the way it really is, we've got, you just make it simple as we have Christ, which has become the Spirit, and he has God in him, and so therefore that's very easy to understand, right? Okay, so the Bible also tells us that the word R-U-A-C-H in Hebrew is the same word that they use in the word spirit. Spirit is ruach, breath is ruach, and wind is ruach. So get the Bible now and find Ezekiel 37, verse 1, and then 37, verse 5, and 37, verse 9. All three of these are saying the word ruach, okay? He's talking about the dry bones here. So spirit, breath, and wind are the same. So it doesn't say that the same word is not soul. So spirit, breath, and wind are all one, but there's no soul involved here at all. And then in the Greek, it's pneuma, P-N-U-M-A. Okay, so the that same word means spirit, breath, and wind also in the New Testament. So did you get Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1?
Yes.
Okay, read it.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord.
And that word in the Hebrew is ruach, R-U-A-C-H. Now that's spirit. Okay, now Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 5.
Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you.
And that breath is the same word as R-U-A-C-H. All right? So that makes sense, isn't it?
Yes.
Not one of these says soul. Okay, now wind. Ezekiel 37, verse 9. It's the same thing, R-U-A-C-H. So read Ezekiel 37, verse 9.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son.
The wind, R-U-A-C-H. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So the wind, the breath, and the spirit, man's spirit, it's all the same. It's the spirit of God also. Spirit is the spirit of God. Ruach, okay? It's the breath of God. The wind. When the Lord even said, and he blew his breath into the nostrils, it's R-U-A-C-H. He blew the wind or the spirit into him of life. Amen?
Amen.
And then at that point, he became a living soul, which is another word. Okay? So read that now again. Ezekiel 37:9.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
Yeah, the wind, the breath, and the spirit, so that they live. Amen?
Amen.
That's good to know, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, now let's go to the New Testament, where we're talking now the Greek, the Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. The same word is P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And it says God is spirit in John 4, 24.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Okay, it's in the Greek, it's God is pneuma, and all those must worship him in pneuma, okay? Amen. All right, now let's go to so it's breath, spirit, and wind. So life is God himself. And spirit is God himself. And wind is God himself. So God fills the entire universe with his wind. Now the other scriptures that I wanted to, I failed to put down the other scriptures, but anywhere in the New Testament where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, or breath, or wind, it's all the same as P-N-E-U-M-A. If you read the Greek, you'll see that, okay? All right, so now let's begin. In order to have this life in, it's so easy because God is spirit, breath, and wind. All right? Now, in order to live the spiritual life, though, you must discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, by the R-U-A-C-H, or by the P-N-E-U-M-A. God is spirit, and spirit is the same word as breath and wind. So God is breath, life breath, amen?
Amen.
And God is wind. It's all the same word. So in order to serve him, you must serve him in spirit or breath or wind. Your very breath and the wind that's in you must serve the Lord. All right, so we've established that. Now let's start. This is how to have God's wind, spirit, life, wind in you, or his life. The Spirit of God is life. Life is God himself. His content is life. So let's begin.
The Lord told Peter when he was about ready to ascend up into the kingdom of heaven, he asked the Apostle Peter three times, "Do you love me?"
Now, if the Lord went up into the kingdom of heaven, that's easy for him because a mighty wind or the Spirit took him up, amen?
Amen.
Or breath, the breath of God, or the life of God brought him up. Now, since God is life and everything in the universe is God, well, then it's easy for us to believe that everything that has life in the universe comes from God, and therefore if we want life, we have to come to him, we have to humble ourselves, and to tell the Lord that our soulish life has caused us to sin, and now we need to live according to the Spirit. God is Spirit. And to serve him, we must serve him, or to worship him, we must worship him in spirit, not soul, but in spirit and in life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on.
Peter said, quote, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," unquote. The Lord said, quote, "Then feed my sheep," unquote.
Right. This is the Spirit of God, the wind, the air that you breathe. Is God. You wouldn't even be alive if he wasn't letting you breathe right now, if the Spirit, the breath of life, was in you. The Spirit of God. So God is the air. Amen?
Amen.
He's the wind. I remember when I was a little boy, I was about 4 or 5 years old, I was walking through the prairie, area in Windham, Montana, and the wind was just beautiful and gentle and just cooling, nice little cool breeze, and it was sunny, and what a beautiful day. I'll never forget it all my life. And incorporated within the wind, I heard my voice, my name being mentioned, and it kind of made the hair on the back of my head stand up. And I thought, well, maybe somebody's saying it. It sounded like the sweetest voice I ever heard in my life. And I looked about a half, well, maybe a block away, or maybe a half, a couple blocks, 2-3 blocks away was his house. And it had storm windows on it and everything. And I know that there wasn't any, that voice wasn't coming from there. And I know there was nobody in my grandmother's house, my grandpa and my grandmother, that had a voice like that. And there was a Windham, Montana that just doesn't have that many houses. And it was coming to me in the breeze. He was mentioning my name. Just the first name, like, it's like somebody really loved me. Like I couldn't, in such a sweet way, that it's just very hard for me to explain it, because I was enjoying the nature of things that day, the sun and this beautiful, warm, cool, just perfect breeze, little gentle breeze that was blowing, that was just perfect. And the earth looked so good in the different vegetation all around, and it just was, to me, it was the most beautiful place in the world. And there's hardly anything there, but it was like I just wondered what it was, because nobody ever talked about God to me before. But I know now that that was the Lord. And another time in Helena, Montana, when I was going out on my paper route in the morning, I used to deliver the Helena Independent Record and the Butte Montana Standard newspapers early in the morning, when there was no sun up at all. It was dark and it was cold and snow on the ground, and the air was so clear, clean, and I looked up and the stars were twinkling just like diamonds, and it seemed like they came down real close to me, and they were like just brilliantly glittering every place. I'd never seen anything like that before or after it, and I felt something. I know now it was the Lord smiling, in a very warm smile, and it warmed me up in the bitter cold, and I just got, whoa, I got real frightened, because I didn't know the Lord or anything about him. I just knew, it just seemed like there's definitely somebody up there. And then, of course, the next time was that the Lord, I had an experience with the Lord, where there's several times that he saved my life. It was like the hand of God picked my car right up and turned it to the right. I almost lammed into a wall that, you know, as you're entering Los Angeles from San Bernardino. And I thought it was over with, but all of a sudden a hand just picked it up and turned the car to the right. Don't try this. I didn't try it. It was like, it was so right at the beginning of dawn in the morning, and I couldn't see that well, and everything was gray, and here I was on the wall, and it just turned. I thought, well, I'll try anyway. So I pushed the brake on and turned the wheel to the right, and it didn't skid or anything. And I was going about close to 100 miles an hour, and there was no skidding or anything or screeching. It just turned, and I went shooting up the towards Hollywood. That's amazing. And then, of course, the next time is when the Lord actually spoke to me in the office in Beverly Hills and told me to stand up on my feet and tell the people in that room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or that I'd die and go to hell. And so the Lord is alive. He is definitely the heir. He knows everything you've done, and he even is inside you. If man can make computers to where they know where you're at all the time and to tell your car where to go, you've got to give God credit to know more than these people that build these computers, because the brain that's in human beings, God gave, put them in there himself and gave us all special talents. And some people don't have much talent, but some of us do. And but anyway, he knows everything you're thinking, and he even knows what I'm thinking and I'm going to say, because like when I'll start saying something, if the Lord doesn't want me to say, he'll violently push inside my chest to where I know, don't do that. And then I'll very quickly say, what then? And he'll move me in another direction of what to say. So the words that I am saying to you are the Lord's words, okay? I'm not saying anything that he doesn't want me to say. And so that's why your ears should tune up. When I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, even that man that is the head of the newspaper, the editor in Miami, Florida, dispatched one of his reporters with me to follow me all over town with... And he says, whenever he starts talking, turn the tape recorder on, because these guys that know the Lord, when they're getting something, it'll not come back again, maybe, and you've got to get that. I want to hear what he's saying. And this girl was would follow me everywhere in town. I mean, she was a former Playboy bunny of all things, but she was a dye-in-the-wool reporter at that time, just a young girl, and followed me everywhere. And she told me I was glad she told me that her the editor had told her to tape everything that I say. She says, do you mind if I turn on the tape recorder when you start talking? And so she'd ask me questions and then put the tape recorder on. And I said, no, I don't mind at all. Go ahead. And this went on for days. Okay. But anyway, like the Lord is spirit. Brett's in. The spirit is life. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that's in God is spirit. God is the spirit. His entire content is spirit, and that spirit is life. It's breath. It's the wind. Do you ever hear anybody say they got the wind knocked out of them? All right? It didn't go all the way up, because if it did, then your life would be out of you. Amen? Because the spirit, the breath, and the life are all one. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit, the breath, and the wind is life. Take this, the breath out of you, the spirit, or the wind out of you, and you're dead. So, in reality, we're only one breath away from eternity. If the Lord takes that breath out of us, He's also taken our spirit out. Now, the soulish life, there's the spirit of soul and the breath, a spirit of soul and the body. All three are like one. But the soul has to be, and the body has to be put under subjection to our spirit. And our spirit has not the power to do that until we accept regeneration, which is the Spirit of the Lord entering into our spirit to give us the power to put our soul and our body under subjection, so that we're no longer living the flesh life, or i.e. the soulish life, but we're living the life of the spirit. We must serve the Lord with our spirit, not our soul or body. Our body will serve the Lord once our spirit puts our body under subjection to allow the Lord to live out His life in us. So when the Christ as the spirit, which is the life, that's why He said He's life, He has God in Him, and He enters us as the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Christ, God, and Christ are all one. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on here with how to have this life, this spirit, this content of God, the breath that has been regenerated. So you say, well, my soul, you know, yes, it has to be regenerated. Your spirit has to be regenerated. Your body has to be. Everything that is you has to be under subjection to Christ as the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God is in you, He doesn't want us to any longer it to be our temple. He wants it us to know that it's His temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? It's not you anymore, and you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the Lord, because He paid the price for your life. Amen?
Amen.
So first step today is, let's get yourself regenerated. Amen?
Amen.
Let the life of God, the Spirit, enter your spirit, so that your spirit can then have the power to put your soul and body under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now let's go.
The Lord said to Peter, then feed my sheep.
Right, in other words, obey me. If you want to, worshiping the Lord is the same as obeying Him. And the Lord says to obey those that have the rule over you. If you refuse to do that, it's just a man. Well, that's what they said about Jesus when He was here, but He had God's Spirit in Him, and then after He had kept all the Lord's commandments, He was worthy to be resurrected unto eternal, immortal life and become our life as the Spirit. Jesus became our life as the Spirit, and the Spirit is God. So God's Spirit was in Him, and He became this Holy Spirit. And He became our life, our breath, our wind, everything that is of the Lord. The pneuma and the ruach. Okay? So you want God's life in us. He because he obeyed the Lord, he is now over everything in heaven and on earth, and we are members of his body if we do everything he says. And we say, well, we, no, it won't be us, it'll be you letting Christ as the Spirit with his Father in us serve him, himself, by our life dying out, our soulish life and our body dying out from the lusts that it has, and let us live according, let Christ live in our spirit as our power to empower us to get into the kingdom of heaven. So that's the Bible says grace, but grace means power and wisdom. So by God's power, which is his spirit, we're saved. Is it not by power, am I, but by my spirit, amen?
Yes.
My spirit is the power that empowers you to be clothed upon with my righteousness, and that can only happen when you die. When you die out to your former life and the lust of the flesh, the lust of your soul, and let your spirit serve me, because God is the Spirit, and those that serve him and worship him must worship him with the Spirit, not the body or the soul. But the Spirit will cause the soul to be under subjection and the body to serve the Lord. Now the body, our outward, Christ's life living in us, is manifested by our body doing the things that the Spirit did in Christ. That shows that Christ is on earth still. If we're allowing the Spirit of God to live out his life in us, well then you are the manifestation of the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. Okay? So that's why this is above university teaching, because they don't teach this in universities. Because most of them are not born again. Probably none of them. And if they are, praise the Lord. I'm not against that. I'm for that. I pray that they all do that and that they all teach this. My literature is being taught in most of those Christian universities as above university level. Okay? Then what?
In other words, the Lord said, fix the withered hands, the withered members of my body. And he asked him three times. There's so many people that don't know the significance of being buried or being baptized in water. And sometimes there are people that say they really want to be buried with Christ again so that they can live.
Right, we must die, be buried, as Christ was. He likened himself as unto a seed of wheat or corn. Unless it's dead, it cannot rise up. And there's something in the spirit of the land, which is Christ. The land has life in it, amen?
Amen.
But it has to have a seed in there first. And that seed that was planted was Christ. And Christ gets planted in us, which is his word, amen?
Amen.
Which is also spirit and life. Breath, wind. And when the spirit of the Lord is fire, amen?
Amen.
So, as it states, spirit, breath, wind, life, God's life, is spirit, breath, wind. Okay, keep going.
A lot of people ask me if they could be buried because they are not buried. You can tell that they're not resurrected.
They're not dead yet, so they how can you resurrect if you're not dead first? Amen?
Amen.
So you have to die first before the Spirit of God will resurrect you into the new life, the immortal life. If you don't die, that means that you're not willing to be cracked open. You're like a hard shell. God's life, Christ as the Holy Spirit, cannot enter into your stubborn life. So let the Lord discipline you to where you become humble or cracked so that the Lord can enter into that crack in you and circumcise your heart. And then at that time is when you're regenerated, you're resurrected from your dead soulish life and your physical life, which is full of lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes of our life. God's power enters into you at regeneration, and you become a new creature. All your life, you knew you were weak, and you just knew that no matter how many New Year's resolutions you make, or what you plan to do, you're just going to be on a diet, you know, or whatever you're planning to do. Forget, it isn't so much the diet. I mean, people are just thinking about themselves, but I want to do something for humanity. I want to help people, but you can't help people if you don't help yourself first. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must be regenerated. It must happen by humbling yourself, confessing your sins, so that you can become God's righteousness. Anyone that hides any of their old life and clings on to it because they're embarrassed or they just feel that man will react differently to me, or my husband will react differently to me if I tell him the truth about my life before, or something like, or if I confess my sins. The Bible says confess your sins to the Lord, but your husband wants to know who he's living with. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to know what your weaknesses are so that he can keep you away from anything that would tempt your soul. And one of the things that Susie told me when we first got married, she says, Tony, whatever you do, don't ever lie to me. Because if you lie to me, I have no desire to lie. I mean, because I know no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But she says, I'll never be able to trust you again. And trust is one of the main ingredients in a married life. So people that lie, they won't enter the kingdom of God. And you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So when a certain message hits you, then if it hits you and it gets you into your soul and it becomes more powerful than the devil that's been hiding himself in you, then for heaven's sakes, report it. Report the devil. If you don't, he'll never leave you. He's in you. He's going to stay there. So the Lord's not going to abide in a soul or in a spirit, in the body, or in any body that is a liar. He can't live it. He will not live with a liar. So you have to come clean. Amen?
Amen.
And anybody that is of the Lord would appreciate that if you come clean a whole lot more than they would if you just kept hiding it. Because when people hide things, you can tell it. You know it. You can just, the Lord lets you know these things. That's for sure. Okay, so let's keep going.
If you want to be buried again in the water, then that's good. Because when I saw people being buried in the water again, being baptized again, I see that a lot of them come out of being dead.
Right. There's some people that have left the church and they were baptized before, and they come back and ask, is it all right if I get baptized again? Because I want to really make a stand for the Lord this time. I want him to really live out his life in me. I want him to be a part of me. I want to be a part of him. And I say, sure, go ahead and get baptized again. That won't hurt. All right? Because I've seen when that happens that they do live a godly life. People have that lied or have gone out and didn't serve the Lord for several years, and then they come back. All right, then what?
If you're dead, then you need to be buried in the water again in baptism.
If you want to be dead and resurrected from your dead life unto regeneration, unto the life, the eternal life. Because without regeneration, you have no eternal life. You're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
And by doing so, you will become alive, maybe.
It won't be maybe. I don't know why I said that, but it's you will be alive. Amen. I mean, if you're sincere.
Amen.
Then what?
This is a phenomenon that happens. We have to die. We have to become the members of the body of Christ and to allow Christ to do the work in us in the church.
See, the Lord uses the word seed and earth a lot. It just works the same way as a farmer knows that. It's like a supernatural thing. You put the seed, you can keep it in a bag for 100 years and nothing will happen with it. And the ground, if you don't put the seed in there, nothing will happen to it. It'll just grow weeds or something. But put that seed in the ground. I mean, plow the ground up, harrow it, fertilize it and everything, and then put that seed in there and something miraculous happens. If you want to see resurrection, look out of your window, look at the trees and the grass out there. Every one of those things that you see growing had to be a seed at one time and had to die, had to be sown into the ground, and then you see, experience, or observe resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that's out there that you see that's growing is resurrected. Amen?
Amen.
So that's no reason, there's no reason why you should not believe in resurrection. So you sow your old dead life, and you're not going to get anything unless you work. Like if you want to plant something, you have to plow, amen?
Amen?
And you have to sow. If you do that, and then you see these farmers throwing out abundant seed out there because they want an abundant crop. If you just go out there and plant one seed and then you expect to have bushels of things, forget it. It won't work. So that's why I sow abundant seed into you earthen vessels out there, because I want to reap lots of souls for the Lord. I'm sowing the seed that I believe does bring forth life, resurrected life in you. And when you sow it into your friends, then you're bringing forth resurrected life by sowing the Word of God or this literature. Now, you hear all these letters that people send in to me that say, man, we're showing this your literature to people, we're letting them hear it, and they're getting saved, and they're loving the Lord more than they ever did before, because it's the germination of the Word of God, the seed that goes into them, and they know it's the truth, and it quickens them, and it gives them chills, you know, that there's something that they're hearing that's the truth. For once in their lives, they've heard the truth now, and they get saved, and it's because of you, because you've become a distributor of God's Word. Now, you're not distributing my word, you're distributing God's word, because I'm not telling you anything other than what God says. And when you sow God's word, that's why witnessing crews are out on the streets all the time. That's why we send them out there, is so to reap abundant harvest because the Lord's coming back to earth again. It's right at the very, you know, we're very close to the end, we're right at the end of time, actually. And all the signs are here, and the Bible says that when you see all these signs, the generation that sees all these signs, that's the time that they'll see also the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sow seeds, you know, and if you want to see if what I'm saying about sowing seed into the earth, go out and cultivate the earth a little bit, get a bag of seeds, get grass seed or radishes or carrots or whatever, and sow them in there. And you'll see if it's the right season, you do it according to wisdom and understanding and knowledge, you're going to see a crop come up. And, you know, if you grow one watermelon plant and here comes some big watermelons out, you say, wow, I wish I would have grown more. You would have sown more abundantly, they would have been there. There's no reason why it couldn't have been. All right, except it's just your doubting. If you doubt, you don't receive anything but damnation from that, the Lord said. But by faith you're saved and healed and prosperous. Okay, let's keep going.
We have a man named David Sheff, and one of the young Christians called me up. He doesn't even speak good English, and he said he wants to move this man into the church. And I said, where are all the older Christians?
Well, I can just break this down real fast. David's been in the church for years, and some of these older Christians, like David, in Sanford, and many of the older Christians, they begin to weary at well-doing. They care little or nothing about young people, converts that have just come in, and they pay little or no attention to showing them around the church and being friendly to them when they first get saved and want to move in. They don't show them where their bed is going to be, and their sheets and pillowcases and their hygiene, all the other things that we provide for the people that move into the church. And it's very frustrating because the young baby Christians, the new converts that have been here for maybe 6 months to a year or two, they're the ones that are taking care of them, and they don't know fully how to do it yet because they haven't been instructed by the older Christians. They haven't even instructed anybody. And a lot of the new converts get discouraged and they move away, and that's why I brought messages and the Lord had me bring them on encouraging people or discouraging them. There's a lot of difference. Like with the withered hand, where the Lord encouraged the people in the church because he did a miraculous thing with them and healed them, and so they want to go and tell it to everybody. But when there's no one in the church that tells people what to do, then they think it's just like out in the world, people don't even care about you. Even people in the world care more about you than the people in the church. And therefore, there's no reward for a person that does that, because you're not supposed to be discouraging Christians that move in or anywhere else in the world, but you're supposed to encourage them, and by your example is the way they're going to be. If you're cold and indifferent, then they're going to be cold and indifferent. They're going to be just as they see you. And that's why there's going to be an ill reward for you people, you older, quote, Christians, unquote, because you don't care anything about rules. One of them, Sanford, when broke the spirit in his service because he wanted to say something, and he interrupted right at when they were praying people through. And that's the example he's setting for them. So the Lord told me not to let him come into the church any longer. And the same thing with his wife. She was bearing down on them with these strong messages. And here, they're just young Christians, and they need to be treated with the love of God and patience. Okay, so that's the story of what I'm saying here. Okay, then go ahead, keep going.
There are some people that were reported by baby Christians that they didn't praise and thank the Lord. This certainly is not my fault. You know I've preached the gospel to them. So when people want to be buried, let them be buried.
Now, when they want to be baptized, they should be baptized. They must be baptized. All right, then what?
And older Christians, just because they've been sitting on church pews for years, doesn't mean a thing. What they're doing is stopping the work of the Holy Spirit in the church.
Right, because the Holy Spirit is not living in them. If the Holy Spirit, if Christ Jesus was living in them, Christ labored from early morning till late at night, till all hours. And then he prayed all night long. And so this is not the spirit of those that have fallen away. They've fallen away from the Lord. And there just isn't any zeal in them. There's no regeneration. The regeneration went out because of some evil spirit or spirits have gotten to them, and they've just fallen away. That's why the Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. These people that have been saved in this church for 36 years are going to be last if they don't get a renewing of the spirit of Christ as the Spirit with his Father in them. They will go to hell in the lake of fire. It'll be a worse place in hell in the lake of fire for them than they will be for people out on the street that never have heard the gospel as like they have. Okay, then what?
All this happened in our Los Angeles, California church. Now, this may not be a thing that the major churches would think is right to be baptized again. But when I saw the results, then I knew it was of the Lord. Well, there's no scriptural proof of this. Well, it still works. Believers have to be baptized again.
Well, the Holy Spirit, Jesus as the Holy Spirit, states that he'll teach us all things that are not even written in the Bible. Of course, he's not going to tell you to go and kill anybody or hurt anybody. He's just going to get you down and teach you things that are not absolutely what you may call scriptural, but they are scriptural because the Lord said it. Yeah, now many older Christians, they feel that you should be as tender with them as you would be with a baby Christian. But they're not at all tender with baby Christians or young converts, but they expect you to be tender with them. And really, the older a person is in the Lord, the more mature they should be. And the Bible talks about them growing up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. They should, by now, have learned what to do without asking questions so many times. But it's just amazing how so many of them just become spiritual invalids. They just cannot do anything on their with the Spirit of the Lord coaching them or dealing with them. They just must ask questions, even to the point of, can I eat or can I go to the bathroom or something like that? Or can we turn the telephone off when we're doing a message? They just haven't got any... It doesn't seem like it's the Spirit of God to me, because the Spirit of God is intelligent. And people that remain stupid, you know, that unintelligent for all their Christian life shows me that the Bible says that even a fool, or not a fool, the Bible tells us that even a person that is not bright, that they become wise by just receiving what the Lord says. All right? A fool has said in his heart that there's no God. But God, there is God. There is wind. There is breath. There is the Spirit. There is life. Life eternal. And the Lord does abide in those that are regenerated. And he takes over. He takes over the body. But if the body and the soul are like always lusting, then there's no way that the Lord is going to live in a person like that. And if they're always lusting, they're just never going to know what the right thing is to do. They're always fearful that they're going to do something wrong. But if they surrender their entire life to the Lord, then they know that it's the Lord telling them to do things. And it's wonderful for me to hear and see people do things that the Lord tells them to do, that they are definitely in the Spirit. Okay, and what else now?
We have to be baptized daily in the Holy Spirit.
Right, we must be baptized, be walking in the Sabbath, in the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, before I do a service, I always like to read and get some spirit and life into me, even more from the Word of God. I pray for the anointing on top of that. I want to be swimming in the Word of God, in the Spirit, the breath, the wind of God, the life of God. Okay, then what? If His life is living in me, then there I know, and He's living His life, I know that everything I'm doing is wonderful, because it's Him. Okay, then what?
If people are not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they just walk off and leave baby Christians.
Right, that's what they do. Is they see him being moved in, and this going to bed is more important to them, like with David Sheff. Okay, then what else? And Barney and Mary Ann and so many of the old people that have waxed cold. Okay, keep going.
People that want to move in, they're not even courteous to people.
These older ones are not even courteous to the new ones coming in, is what that means. And then what?
They break the spirit in the churches.
Right, so this is, I see my time is up, but the reason that I'm saying all these things is that I'm pastoring so many pastors all over the world, and they need to know the things that I do in the church, and that I don't at all, any more than God does in His Word, hide some of the miserable things that go on in churches. Now, if I were Satan, I wouldn't bother backslidden churches or backslidden people or people that never knew the Lord. Well, I'd bother is the ones that are really of the Lord. And that's the ones that Satan does bother. And so, Satan, I know that you're keenly aware that I'm watching for all of your moves on the body of Christ, and therefore, beware. I'm here. God is living in me. Christ is, as the Spirit is living in me with his Father. And so, you know, he knows, Satan knows he's going to be reproved, rebuked violently when he comes in my path. All right, so the time is up, and now you can begin a life with God, have God's life in you by receiving the first step, which is regeneration, salvation. And salvation will come to you immediately by saying this prayer. Now say this prayer to the Lord and mean it, knowing that God is the air, the breath, the wind. He hears everything you're saying. And you don't have to scream out to him because he knows what you're thinking even. So say this to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins, our former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up to the Lord. He sees you. He knows you now. He's never going to say, I never knew you. So raise your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Now just continue reading the Bible and listening to these tapes and getting my literature. And now here's four ways how to receive this tape. It's tape 133 or CD 133.
You can go to the website, alamoministries.com, or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now you'll want to hear the continuation of this. Tomorrow will be part 32 of how to have God's life living in you. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.